Well, this afternoon, our meditation from God's Word is taken from Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 to verse 20. Okay, follow me as I read this portion of Scripture, the first book of the beginning, Genesis chapter 23, verses 1 to 20. And Sarah was 127 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he had, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, as he shall give it me, for a possession of a burying place among you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the son of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure. Unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the son of Heth. May God bless us in the reading of his holy and precious word. When Abraham, and after Abraham, passed the greatest test of faith, it does not mean that it is time for him to rest. As long as he has breath, as long as God has not called him home, he still has to fight a good fight of faith. No doubt he has gone through a very difficult faith test, to offer his son as a sacrifice to the Lord, as a burnt offering. There's no holding back. Abraham gave it all to the Lord. Or he may have passed the test with flying colors. But the Lord still has more tests for him. Whether great or small, he must still walk by faith and not by sight. Trusting in the Lord no matter what happens. So as we study chapter 23, we must learn from Abraham in his unwavering faith, in God's promises as a stranger and sojourner in the land of Canaan. And that is what Abraham regarded himself, okay, as a stranger and a sojourner, according to verse 4 of this chapter. For he said to the son of Heth, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Now what makes Abraham say this? We know that the background of what he has said was that Sarah has passed away. He had gone home to be with the Lord. For verse 1 says, and Sarah was 120 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. 127 years was Sarah's life on earth. Although that also means Abraham is now 137 years, okay, because he was 10 years older than Sarah. Now, since the day Sarah followed Abraham, okay, leaving Ur of the Chaldees by faith, then they both of them stepped foot in the land of Canaan. And then they were in the land of Canaan for 62 years. In other words, Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65, you know, when they first set foot in the land of Canaan. So 62 years passed by quickly. And that was how long they had been there in the land of promise. And then verse 2 reads, and Sarah died in Kirjath Arba. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Sarah's time on earth is up. And her role as Abraham's wife was completed, okay, according from God's perspective. And so he pleased God to call her home. And the years of her life while she was living was that she remained a faithful wife of Abraham. All these years, as his helpmeet, as his support, and how he has submitted to him in all these years. And so truly this is what it means, you know, in the marriage vow, till death us do part. Now verse 2 also reveals to us the emotion of Abraham. On one hand, he may have the confidence that Sarah is now in a better place, in the bosom of the Savior, resting forever, you know, from the labor, the toil of this life. Although on one hand, Abraham knew that she is now in a better place, and that is her eternal home to be with the Lord. But on the other hand, he missed the present on earth. Right? So there is a moment of separation, a moment of loss, of companionship that Abraham was feeling right now. So the loss of his wife, well, hit him. And he mourned and he wept. But not one without hope, but one who longed for a continual companionship. So as far as God allows, as far as God enables, okay, which the husband and wife can enjoy together. So as a husband, he should and he ought to feel this way. Because he loved his wife, which is what God wants every husband to do. The husband must love your own wife all the way to the end, even until death. And now the last thing which Abraham wanted to do for his wife is to give her a proper burial. And in giving her this burial, he showed forth the faith of Abraham. Abraham did not forget about his faith. And so even in a simple thing as a burial, it reveals the unwavering faith of Abraham as a stranger and as a sojourner in the land of Canaan. So where Abraham is going to bury Sarah will reveal what faith he has. So from verses 3 onwards, we see Abraham's unwavering faith. Okay, as a stranger and sojourner in the promised land. And so verse 3, and Abraham stood up from before his dead, okay, who is Sarah, his beloved wife, who had gone home to glory, and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, verse 4, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Now, why did not Abraham bring Sarah all the way back to earth of her childhood? That was their birthplace. That was where they came from. Well, is it because of convenience? Is it because it is easier? Okay, maybe for economic reason or convenient reason that Abraham buried Sarah in the land of Canaan? Well, the answer is no. The answer is a spiritual one. Now, usually when, you know, when those who have gone overseas, you know, if they work and then accident happened, they pass away, their body will be flew back. Okay? Flew back to their home. Okay? If they come from Singapore, their body will be flew back to Singapore. Well, if they come from Malaysia, it will be flew back to Malaysia. So to where you come from, so the dead will be buried, okay, over there. And so to Abraham, what was in his mind, you know, when he wanted to bury Sarah? Was he thinking of Ur of the Chaldees still his home? Well, we know that it is not, because if Ur of the Chaldees is still his home, no matter what he called, he will bring Sarah, you know, the dead body, all the way back to the hometown. And so precisely he did not, it tells us, okay, why he did not bury Sarah back in Ur of the Chaldees. Why he chose to bury Sarah in the land of promise. It is because the land of promise is now his home. The home which God has prepared for Abraham. And not just for Abraham, not just for Sarah, but all his descendants. Okay, his physical descendants. And that is what God had promised him. You know, when they received the high calling from God in Ur of the Chaldees to live where they come from and to go all the way to the land of Canaan. By faith. So that was the new home for Abraham. And that is by faith, okay, that he is now bearing Sarah in Canaan rather than Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, so Abraham obeyed God, okay, to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, and so the land of Canaan is now their home. Ur of the Chaldees was no longer their home. It may still be their birthplace. It may still be the place where they came from. But by faith and obedience to God, both Abraham and Sarah had a new home, which God had prepared for them. Okay? And so, Abraham buried Sarah. Okay? And that is his desire. Okay? And that is his faith. Now imagine if Abraham is to bury Sarah in the Ur of the Chaldees. That means he has no faith. And so it is a very important thing that we see in Abraham. How his faith in God for his promise to be fulfilled. Even by this act of burial revealed to us. And so the land of Canaan is Abraham's home. As well as all his descendants. Now Abraham also revealed the way he regarded himself in the promised land. Okay, although they are in the land of Canaan, which is now their home. According to verse 4, okay, and this is important for us to know, as a stranger and sojourner with you. Well, that's what Abraham said. What is a stranger? A stranger means a foreigner. A foreigner who does not belong and be part of the people of the land. And so a stranger is a foreign and alien, not a citizen of the country. And the reason why he said that he was a stranger was because he was not identifying himself with the lifestyle of the people. Then he of them. He wants them to know that he is still a stranger. He wants them to know that he has not joined together with them or immersed into them in their religion or into their love life. Yes? Although no part of them, okay, because he is a stranger. But then he says he is also a sojourner. So not just a stranger, but a sojourner. And what is a sojourner? A sojourner is one who lives together with them. He is a resident, okay, in which now he called the land of Canaan his home. A foreign resident, in other words. In fact, he stayed there for 62 years at this time. You know, by the time he comes to chapter 23. Okay, and so surely, you know, when one spends such a long time, you know, in this place, he must be so familiar with the surrounding, with the cultures, with the people, with the season, with the weather, the way of life, the religion, the cultures. And so as a stranger and as a sojourner, Abraham lived with the people in the same land. But he lived differently from them. Okay, because he did not join with them in their idolatrous lifestyle or their worldly lifestyle and ungodliness. Okay, he lived by faith. He refused to allow his faith in God to be compromised. And that is the only way to be faithful to God for Abraham. And so as a stranger and sojourner, Abraham has shown himself what it means, okay, to be in the world, but not of the world. No doubt the land of Canaan was where the Lord has called Abraham, okay, to go there by faith. And Abraham obeyed. And so therefore, the land of Canaan is now his new home on earth. And he is planning now to purchase a burial plot, okay, for Sarah. And not for her only, but also for himself and for all his descendants. Now let us note what Abraham said to the son of Heth. Okay, also in verse 4. Abraham said to them, "Give me a possession of a burying place with you." Although it is quite clear that Abraham is requesting for a place in the midst so that he can bury Sarah properly. But as a stranger and sojourner, what does it mean? It means that he did not possess any land, okay, that is under his name. Because he is a stranger. And he is just a resident, okay, who has come from a far away place, but now has lived among them. Okay, though not join together with them. Okay, though not join together as their people. But he's still in their midst, okay, in the land of Canaan. And so what was Abraham asking for? He wants a land in which he can possess. A land that will be under his name. A land that will belong to him and his descendants forever. That was what Abraham was asking for. Okay? A possession that he can own and forever belong to him. And then we see the reply, verses 5 and 6. "And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto us, Hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the toil of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee this sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead." All these children of Heth answered in a very smart way. They answered Abraham in their own way, not Abraham's way. Now remember, Abraham asked for a possession, okay, that he can own to his name. But the children of Heth offered him another way. But they are saying to Abraham, "Well, Abraham, you can take any of the burial plot. Any one of them. Up to you to choose. Well, any time anyone from a family needs a burial plot, you can take them. And no one is to stop you from your desire." Well, it seems good, isn't it? Well, it is good, but not good enough for Abraham. Because it does not necessarily mean that he possessed the land. So what if he decided to take it back? And then the taking back may not be in Abraham's time. It could happen after he was gone. It could happen, you know, during the time of his descendant.
What if it happened? Well, his descendant will be in trouble.
And so how did Abraham respond? Well, Abraham did not get angry. Abraham was not impatient with them. Look at how he responded. Verse 7. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. Well, with all due respect, this is how Abraham responded to them. Well, what a testimony. Now, remember what the children of Heth regarded Abraham. He regarded him as Lord. He regarded him as a mighty prince among them. But it was a very high honor. But Abraham did not take advantage of this honor that they gave him. In fact, he responded with great humility. What did he do? He bowed down to them. All of them. Well, it's a very humbling way to do. Humble. Humility. Well, though he was humble, and yet he was still firm. He remembered what he had asked them for. He asked them for a possession. He wanted to own the land in the right way, so that there will be no contention in the future whatsoever. Okay, so the sons of Heth or the descendants of Canaan in the future would take the land back. Okay, he doesn't want all this to happen. And so it requires Abraham to truly work step by step. Okay, indeed, in the last step, he needs to trust in God in every step of the way. He is humble and yet firm. He did not compromise. Now, he was firm because of verses 8 to 9. And he communed with them. He speak with them. Okay, he did not talk down on them. He did not take advantage of them. Because of the honor that they gave to him. Remember, he's a mighty prince. And he's the Lord, okay, as they called him. No, he communed with them. He put himself on level together with the people. And then he said, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead, okay, out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Doha, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he had, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place among you. Although Abraham's answer was firm, he still requested the land in which will become his possession. And he was willing to pay for it. Okay, because last part of verse 9 says, for a possession of a burying place among you. Still the same request. But now he asked for it in a very different approach. Abraham had done his homework. Okay, it is not out of a sudden, he come with this idea. No, he had done his homework. He must have prayed. He must have committed the whole thing to the Lord. Okay, where the appropriate burial site that he desired. And of all the land in Canaan, it must be the cave of Machpelah. And this cave belonged to this man called Ephron. And so Abraham was well prepared. And he knew what he was asking. He was firm in his request. And then by the time he come to verse 10, Ephron came into the picture. Somehow he was invited and he was present before Abraham and he joined in the conversation. And now he has taken over, okay, and in his dialogue together with Abraham. And so verse 10, and Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham, in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, verse 11, nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I thee. Bury thy dead. Ephron was very generous. Okay, he was generous towards Abraham. If you look at verse 11, straight away he said no, nay, no. It's a very strong no. Let not this be done. Let me give it to you. Okay, how many times? Three times.
Three times he said, I give you this field. I give you this cave. I'm giving it to you. But was that a deal?
What will you do if you are Abraham?
Well, maybe if you are Abraham. All things you insist. And then you are giving it to me. Thank you. No, we just take. More than happy to take. But for Abraham, this is still not good enough to assure him. Why? Because he was thinking of the future. He was thinking of the descendant. No problem if it happened during his lifetime. No, if something were to happen, he can settle it. But what if it happened after him? After he is no more around? So Abraham was not to take for granted. He had this faith in God's promise. And this promise is not only to him, but also to his descendant. And he had to play his part. And he had to, must be wise. No, wise as serpent, harmless as dove. Even in the case over here. He told Abraham, this is not good enough for him to assure him that the land belonged to him just by his verbal assurance. Abraham wanted it to make it officially. This possession that will surely belong to him. And so in other words, he must purchase it. He must pay for it. That is from himself to own it. And so we read on in verses 12 and 13. Okay, because it is not good enough. I cannot take it as something that is free. Look at verses 12 and 13. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. Well, in the spirit of humility. Always, the way of doing God's will, it's always in humility. God hates the proud. Sometimes we are proud because we think we hold all the truth. If we are humble enough, God will enable us to know that we have the truth indeed. If we have become proud, and arrogant, God will humble us. Okay, and that will be something that we may have to learn it in a hard way. So it's always the humble approach that God wants us to do. And so Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it. The tone. It's always not confrontational. It's always in a very submissive note. But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, I beg you, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it off me, and I will bury my dead there. And so again, Abraham's proposal was very clear. He wanted to buy the land so that it will officially become his possession. But why did Abraham phrase it this way? That it was as if like Ephron gave the land to him. Now we see the word in verse 13. Okay? Will give it. So they are in the italic. I don't know whether your Bible is in the italic, but for mine it's in the italic. What does it tell me? It means that all these are the words that are put in by the King James translator. Okay? To make the sentence clearer to the reader. It doesn't change the meaning, but to make the meaning, okay, stand out. And that's exactly what Abraham was asking Ephron to do. So on Ephron's part, it will be seen as a generous of him to give whatever land that Abraham desired. And indeed, he was generous towards Abraham. When Abraham asked of Ephron, give me this land. And so it will be Ephron giving the land to Abraham, before the people who were present. And so it will be seen as generous of him to give to Abraham. Because there was no doubt of his sincerity. There was no doubt of his generosity. And since Abraham still asked Ephron to give, and Ephron was able to keep his good image of one who is generous before his own people. Okay, so now that the proposal was made, where was it made? Well, we note, if you turn to verse 10, this proposal was made at the gate. Okay, and it was before the audience of the people. Now, all these details were important and was significant, because it means that something official is going to take place. And then the decision made will be officially known to everyone. And this is what Abraham wanted. And so was Abraham's proposal accepted? We know that it had been accepted. Okay, because of Ephron's reply. Okay, in verses 14 to 15. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. No, as I ponder over his answer, what is exactly going on in the mind of Ephron? I thought he wanted to give, but why did he tell Abraham the price? No, if you really want to give, you should have concealed the price. I'm not letting you know how much it is worth. No, if you want to pay for the meal, no, when you go for a good meal in the restaurant, and you are determined to pay for it, will you tell the person, tell all other diners, no, that you are giving them a treat, the amount that you have paid? No, you won't, because they may want to pay back their share. Okay, pay for their share. Okay, if you let them know how much, that means you actually wanted them to pay you back. So what's going on in the mind of Ephron? Is he really generous to want to give to Abraham? Or just want money, you know, out of the land that he's giving to Abraham, so that he will not suffer any loss? I think he wants both. Okay, because since he has made himself known. Okay, he wants to be a generous person. Okay, at the same time, he doesn't want to suffer any loss. Okay, he also wanted money, okay, for the land that he is giving to Abraham. Okay, but Abraham did not take him to task for that. Well, Abraham, by faith, okay, because he knew that he must purchase the land. Okay, to him, that is in his mind. Okay, he must have this land in his possession, that is under his name. And the only way to do so, well, is to pay for the land. Although it was done in the presence of all the people as witnesses, so that this land belonged to Abraham's possession and his descendant forever. Now, on all this account, okay, this account in chapter 23, what is the spiritual lesson, okay, that God wants us to receive? We have seen Abraham's unwavering faith in God's promise. God has promised the seed that is coming. The home is no more Ur of the Chaldees. The home is right in the land of Canaan. Earthly home, of course. Because Abraham is looking for that eternal home, definitely. The home where the maker is God himself. Where God is the builder. But as far as earthly home is concerned, Abraham has obeyed God by faith. How he left Ur of the Chaldees and come all the way to the land of Canaan. Okay, so that God's promise will be fulfilled to him, okay, and his descendant. So he did so as a stranger and as a sojourner on this earth. Now you and I, we are also strangers and sojourners on this earth. And we are supposed to be on earth, you know, just like Abraham, with a spiritual mission. For Abraham, his spiritual mission is to make sure, okay, that God's promise will be fulfilled to him and his descendants in the land of promise, and be faithful as God's people till the seed comes. What about our spiritual mission? Our spiritual mission is to be God's holy witnesses, to shine for him wherever the Lord has put us in. We are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We are not to be unholy. No, that's why we are supposed to shine forth the gospel light. We are supposed to let others see Christ in our words, in our life. They are not going to read the Bible. Of course, we hope they will. But what if they don't? They are going to read us. and we do not obey the will of God, the revealed will of God, and let the word of God become life to us as we live out the living word, you know, the written word, how will others know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why we need to conform more and more to the image of Christ. That is the purpose in which God wants us to have, is to live this life on earth for a testimony for Him. Well, the devil and the world, right, will try to convince us that this life is all that we have. No need to worry of so many things. Just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Life is short, so enjoy. Well, indeed, we agree that life is short. But God is the one who decides how long are we supposed to live on this earth. And the problem is not to know how long. Regardless of the length of our life, how have we been living this life for Him? It could be just one more day. It could be another 20, 30 years. It doesn't matter. Well, if the Lord gives us more time that we can spend with our loved ones, well, it's not for our vain glory. It's not for our selfish motive, but that we may fulfill God's purpose, spiritual purpose, on this earth. No, if God were to lengthen our life to be with our loved ones, it is how we may be a blessing to them. That God's work through us is not done yet. God wants to use us for His very purpose, to impact the people around us. And so what is the thing that you are focusing on right now? Are you living for Christ? Well, for working adult, is it not your job? That's why you pour out your life, committing fully into your job. You want to do your best. But that's correct. We must do our best. It is good to give our best, you know, to do a good job. But are we doing it for the Lord's sake? Well, that's a world of difference. Because if we do it because we want fame, we want man recognition, or we want a promotion, or we want a better life, a comfortable life, then it will be for selfish reason. But if we do it for the Lord's sake, then whether promotion comes or not, we will not be angry. We will be happy with whatever that has been given to us, because we are doing it for the Lord's sake. Same for our studies. No, if we get not a result that we desire, well, because we work so hard. No, we burn midnight oil. No, we give all our energy. No, how many chicken essence we have drunk? No, bottles after bottles. So we got this result, not according to expectation. But is it not doing it for ourselves? But if we do it for the Lord, God will be able to give thanks. And so it is good to give our best, whether at work or in our studies. But make sure, you know, that we are doing it for the Lord's sake. For otherwise, the job or the studies have become our idol. Okay, because we are prepared to give up our time, you know, with God, you know, just to pursue, you know, excellency in our work or in our study. Don't let your job, don't let your studies become your God. Then we must put God first. When we put God first, it doesn't mean that, oh, you can put aside your job, you can put aside your study. That's not what it means. When you put God first, you will want to do well in your job. You are going to trust in God no matter what happens. No, you're going to be an honest worker in your workplace. No, you will not cut corners. No, you will not do anything that is backstabbing unto others and what the world will do in order to get what they want. But you will do your very best as an honest worker for the Lord's sake. Same for your studies. And you will work your best for God's sake. And as a result, no, in your job or in your studies, well, you will draw closer to God. That will be the end. That will be what you will experience. Can you say that of the current job that you have? Can you say that for your studies? Indeed, whatever God has put us in our hand to do, well, let us give our very best for His glory. Or even the way we honor our parents, it's not because, oh, it is the right thing to do. Yeah, it's the right thing to do, but we do it because of the Lord. Because He has given us this commandment. Know that it's good for us. That we will receive the blessing from God if we obey Him. And that will be our motivation. Okay? As strangers and sojourners on this earth. So we must not let anyone or anything control us and our faith in God. Therefore, as strangers and sojourners on earth, let us make sure that we fulfill our spiritual mission faithfully. As a church, well, as a family, as an individual, know what the Lord will for you in your life. And let us encourage one another. Press on, because we are strangers and sojourners together on earth. And one day, well, we shall all be found in this place called heaven. Okay? We will all be enjoying the presence of God for eternity. In the blessedness and in all His glory. And so right now, let us be faithful. Well, God will take care of us, definitely. Let us be faithful. Be obedient to do His will happily, willingly, faithfully to the end. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee. How Thou hast been so merciful. That we are not consumed because of our sins. And for the many a time that we have been unfaithful. With our lives that Thou hast given us, that we have pursued the things of this world to our vain glory. O Lord, we pray that we repent and come back to the right path again. And to do that which is well-pleasing in Thy sight. And to know the spiritual mission and purpose for our existence on earth. And how we may continue to shine brightly in where Thou hast put us in, that we may be a living testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, that we may be found faithful, that we may find comfort, that Thou will surely take care of us in providing for all our every need. So that, Lord, we may continue to praise Thee and adore Thee and to serve Thee faithfully all the way to the end. Help us, O God. And we commit all this unto Thy loving hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.